die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Chain hits my chest when I'm banging on the dashboard.
Bad Girls by M.I.A. Bad girls, violent, foul-mouthed women, are at the heart of a new play which was part of last year's Melbourne Theatre Company's Neon Festival of Independent Theatre. Georgia Moody's with me. You've seen the play.
That's right. I saw it on Saturday night.
And what's it about?
Well, before I can even tell you the name of this play, I should give a bit of a language warning. There's some very strong language used in this play. There's a sign outside the theatre that says, warning, this play contains nudity, adult themes and powerfully offensive language. It's not for the faint-hearted.
I was going to say something for everyone.
That's right.
So let me put you out of your misery. It's called Shit.
That's right. It's called Shit. And it's written by the award-winning playwright Patricia Cornelius.
Who is terrific.
Yes, and she's known for her confronting plays that often deal with the very poor, the underclass, people on the fringes of society. And it's directed by her longtime collaborator, Susie Dee.
So who's in this one? Who are the characters?
Well, it's an all-female cast, and there are three main characters, Billy, Bobby and Sam, and they've all had very tough lives. As the play unfolds, we find out that they've all grown up in foster care and different institutions and that they've been abused both as children and as adults. So the play opens with a diatribe, this vitriolic diatribe rich with swear words, and it's directed straight at the audience by the tough as nails Billy, who's performed by Nikki Wilkes. And the pressure doesn't really let off until the lights come up at the end of the play. So now we're joined by three of the people behind this play, actors Sarah Ward, Nikki Wilkes and Peter Brady, and the playwright Patricia Cornelius. And here she is explaining what inspired this play.
It came from a project that Susie and I had worked with other playwrights and directors. There were six of us, so six women theatre creatives, and we were working on a project called Lock Up, and about the notion of young women who had been actually locked up, but also in a metaphorical sense, and the idea of being locked up in one's body, locked up by the social mores, whatever, locked up, sort of conjures up. And so there were three writers, and I wrote this piece and then later on developed it as we sort of separated and produced it on its own.
When you were first developing the play, were you working with women who were in prison?
No, I have worked with women in prison. Some of these things, I've been around for a long time now, and you kind of some of these things sit with me, and I'm interested in how to kind of present characters that are quite unlikable and who most of the world hates, and to be able to find a way to seduce an audience to actually listen to them and to be interested in them. If they don't have to like them, but they have to kind of want to stay in their seat and not walk out on them.
Nikki, the play opens with a pretty powerful diatribe from your character, Billy. Tell me about her. What's Billy like?
Billy's very tough. She doesn't take any shit. I think she's full of a lot of hatred and fairly unemotional and possibly the leader of the pack. Yeah, really tough and hard.
She's one of the ones that you kind of might run from in the tram if she got on. Well, you'd definitely put your head down, study your book.
Peter, you play the character of Sam. Like all three characters in this play, she's had a pretty tough life, hasn't she?
Yeah. I think all three characters have come from a similar kind of background. They haven't had the family supports and networks that a lot of us take for granted. So I think they've sort of all come from the same place and they share each other, are their family. They form their own little group, gang.
Sarah, you play the character of Bobby. And one of the things that I found quite upsetting about her was that she's kind of internalised some of the hate and the misogyny that has been thrown at her all of her life. And, you know, she ends up expressing some pretty awful things about women.
Yeah, she does. The strange thing about this rant that she goes on is I can relate to quite a bit of it. So that's been confronting and also cathartic. It's nice to be able to go on a rant and have a bit of a yell, but she does internalise that hatred. But I think a lot of us do, because what else do you do with it? If you blame yourself, then you're not blaming anybody else. So that says to me that there's been some pretty serious abuse in her life, particularly when she was young. And she also hasn't developed much or many resources or internal, like emotional skills, how to cope with how she feels about the world. So she sort of stayed in that arrested development.
It's the character that's probably the most difficult internal life, really, because the hatred of the body and the hatred of oneself in the world, that it's almost like you don't exist. And there's great sadness in that. There's great sadness in each of the characters, actually. It sort of creeps up on you in performance where you go, oh, my God. There's lots of hilarity and lots of kind of range in it, but sometimes it just feels really just bloody sad.
We're going to hear a scene from Shit, and I should probably repeat that there's some very strong language in this play.
I want a horse. I want a dog. Two dogs so they keep each other company. I want a house, a big one, and I want a pool and a barbecue, and I want curtains on my bedroom window and a bed, queen size with sheets and doona. And I want a fridge. And I want it full of food. Open it and stuff falls out so full of cheese and marge and ice cream, chocolate ice cream. I want my life to be nice. I want good things in my life. I want...
What right you got?
What?
Just saying, what right you got to want all this?
I can want.
Let her want shit.
What makes you think you can want and want?
I can want, can't I?
She can want if she wants to.
Who are you to want?
I'm just me. I'm just like you or anybody else.
No, you're not.
Leave her.
I can want if you can want.
I don't want. I don't want nothing.
I do. I want. I want things.
Why do you?
What's fucking wrong with wanting things?
It's pathetic.
It's a bit like you're still a kid.
Adults want things.
Like you're not full grown.
Like you're still on your mummy's tit.
Fuck off. I don't want like that.
It's like you're not whole.
Like you got pieces missing.
You're needy.
Wanting isn't needy. I'm not needy. I just want a few things.
What? What is it exactly you want?
I want things, stuff, dogs and a fridge and stuff.
You're wanting what?
I just said.
You want too much.
No, I don't.
You're all right, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
What's so bad about your life?
Nothing.
What's with the wanting?
Something.
Wanting.
This.
Wanting.
That.
Wanting.
Crap sounds like to me.
What about a baby? Is there anything wrong with me wanting that?
You want a baby?
Yes, I think I do want one. It's natural to want a baby, you know.
Natural.
Most women want one.
I don't want one.
I said most.
What for?
What do you mean what for? What do you think?
For the cash you get.
No.
Then why?
To love it, that's why.
Fuck me. You want a baby so you can love it. What makes you think you're gonna love it?
Because that's what happens when you have a baby, you love it.
Did you love it?
Fuck off, Billy.
Did you?
Shut the fuck up.
What are you talking about?
Bobby had one and she didn't love it.
You had a baby?
Yes.
When?
Can't remember. Years ago.
How old?
12.
What happened to it?
Don't know.
What was it?
A baby.
A boy or a girl?
A boy or a girl.
Shit, you never told me you had a baby.
It was a long time ago.
You've never ever mentioned a baby.
I forgot.
She had one and she didn't love it.
Didn't you?
No.
Do you think about it?
No.
Do you want to see it?
No.
Do you think you'll ever...
No.
You want a baby.
It'll love me.
You're a baby. You're a big fucking baby.
Why are you being so mean to me?
I'm not being mean to you.
Are a bit?
No, I'm not.
A bit mean.
A lot fucking mean.
I'm trying to help her out.
Doesn't sound like that to me.
Don't want her to be disappointed.
Forget it. Forgive me for thinking I might like to change something.
Now we're getting somewhere. Is that it? You want to change something?
I wouldn't mind a change.
Want your face lifted. Want your tits big. Want duck lips.
Fucking hell, forget it. I don't want nothing. I don't want to change nothing. I don't want. From now, I got no wants.
Just asking.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. You fuck with my head.
Sarah Ward, Nikki Wilkes and Peter Brady performing a scene from Shit. Patricia, we know that these women have lived through really awful things. They've been neglected, they've been attacked by their partners, they've been sexually assaulted. But they're also violent and capable of some pretty awful things. You said before that you didn't want the audience to necessarily like them, but do you want them to have sympathy with these characters?
there's always people in the world that do dreadful things, and it's as if the kind of notion is that that's about them, that somehow you're born bad or that you're uncontrollable. And there's so rarely that anybody commits heinous acts or makes violence just for the sake of it. So there's always sort of some consideration where that comes from and some sort of responsibility of a society that hasn't looked after people very well. If you are mistreated, if you are treated appallingly all your life, if you are considered nothing but shit, then you're going to behave like shit. Why wouldn't you? There's a sense in that. And so they're not likeable, but there is a sort of hopefully an understanding of where people, these three people, are coming from. I don't see it as a slice of life play about three poor bugger women from care. I kind of feel like it's about us and the kind of notion that women are shit, that women are treated like shit, that women are treated as second-class citizens, and there's a sort of opening at the moment culturally that we're allowed to talk about us again. And so I guess we're all going for it.
The play isn't always easy to watch. You know, some people will find it offensive or shocking. Was that at all what you were trying to do, to confront the audience with people that they might avoid on the tram?
Not really. I think the whole thing about swearing and people being offended is so puerile. It kind of annoys me. We're a country of swearers. My father taught me to say fuck when I was so young. You know, I don't give a shit about swearing. It's a lot of nonsense. And there's also incredible power in the vernacular. And so if you hear people swearing, you do. You are prickle up. You are really aware of them. And there's such a potency in that. If you've got no power, at least in the language that you use, you can get some. And you have people react to you really strongly. And they're frightened of you. The only time in their life that they might be able to frighten someone. So I kind of like all that. And I like playing with the puerility. All that stuff is sort of interesting to me because that's the language a lot of us speak. Well, you have to kind of clean up because you're in the theatre at the MTC. No.
In this play, Shit, there is lots of humour. The opening scene is really funny. The audience when I went on Saturday night was in stitches. Sarah, are you ever concerned that the audience is laughing at these women? I mean, is there a line when you're using humour in a play that you're ever worried that that might be the case?
Yes. The first night we went out felt like it was canned laughter. I think we were all put out a bit, actually, to the point where we wanted to say, don't make this about you. This is, you know, shut up. We're doing a serious play here. But when I came off, I did say to Nikki, gosh, I hope it's not coming across like I'm a parody, because that's not what I'm aiming to do, and it's certainly not what Patricia's written, and it's definitely not what Susie's directed. I know from discussions with Peter and Nikki that we're going deep. We're not at all wanting to make fun of these women. And I think that if there wasn't humour in this, I'm not sure that it would be sustainable for the audience, because you want ups and downs. How do you feel, Nikki and Peter?
I'm not really convinced that there would be laughter if the audience felt like we were making fun of these girls. I think there would be a silent judgment on that. You know, so I think that the laughter is recognition and them seeing people that they think that they might know.
Some people struggle with the laughter too, some of the audience that we've spoken to, like that they feel like they want to laugh and then they question themselves whether they're laughing at, should they be laughing or not?
I had that thing when there's this one fantastic moment where you all start doing these over-the-top crybaby eyes, and it's so caricatured and over-the-top that everyone starts laughing, and then you start miming horrible things, people slitting their wrists, people being bashed up. And it was so powerful because everyone stopped laughing. It had gone from being funny to kind of, oh my God, this kind of heavy thing. And so for me, humour there was used in a way to make you realise that, okay, this part is funny, but, you know, we're also dealing with some pretty heavy stuff in this play.
I mean, I laughed when I was writing it. I don't think that's hilarious. that's like a secret that you have. So it was quite shocking.
It was
shocking. Go, oh, wow, is this just going to be, I've written a comedy.
Yeah, it's like we're in a sitcom.
Yeah. But it is interesting how it sort of suddenly stops.
Yeah.
And, And then you get nervous that you think, oh, we've lost you, because you just want to be entertained. You just want to have the humour. But in fact, you can see that people go somewhere quite deep.
Patricia, this play is about women who've been told repeatedly that they're worthless, that they're shit, and they come to believe it because they've been told over and over again. And there's no way out for these characters. There's not even a skerrick of hope. Why not?
Well, it should be very, very bleak, is it? Because that's what I believe. I think that there has been no moves to kind of shift the misery of a lot of people's lives. And it's so in your face, it's so obvious, and we never address it, and we don't really care. And we have a government that is so dismissive of anybody poor. Once a government had this sort of benevolent notion of looking after the poor. And you might think that's a patronising point of view, but at least they had it in their sights. Now the poor is dragging us back. The poor are despicable, are laughable, are kind of people that you just don't want to associate with. And you think, well, hell, there are a lot of people out there struggling. There are a lot of people who are not being looked after. And it'll come back and bite us. And good, I can't wait.
Patricia Cornelius and actors Sarah Ward, Nikki Wilkes and Peter Brady speaking to Georgia Moody. And Shit, written by Cornelius and directed by Susie D, was part of last year's Neon Festival of Independent Theatre at the Melbourne Theatre Company.